Our reading this morning comes from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs in our own languages. We hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They're filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
What is that? That's a really good question. Come on up, Emma and Bella. Let's see what I have here today. What do you think this is? Did you hear the story that Steve just read? It was the story of the Holy Spirit coming to Jesus' disciples. They were in a room, they were all by themselves, and there was a whole bunch of people outside because the whole city was celebrating. There's people from all over the world, and congratulations, Steve, on getting the pronunciations of all the worlds that they were from correct. Pentecost readings is one of the hardest ones to read when you're a scripture reader, so very well done. And all these people were outside, and the Holy Spirit came. And the Holy Spirit came, and it felt like tongues of fire and doves, and there was all this sort of feeling that filled up the room, and the people that were in the room were so moved by the Holy Spirit. Hello! Moved by the Holy Spirit that they went outside to tell everybody about God's love and Jesus and all of and how it all made them feel. And everybody could understand them. So even though there were people from Parthenia and Egypt and Cyprus and Crete, even though they all spoke a different language, everybody understood what was being said. The Holy Spirit got in and filled up the people. And so what I have today is a spirit catcher. This fancy little thing right here catches the spirit. Isn't that cool? So where do you think the spirit is? Do you want me to capture the spirit for you, and I can show you where the spirit is?
Okay. I want to do it.
You want to do it? Okay. Let's see where the spirit is. There it is. There it is. See inside all those bubbles. There's the spirit. There's the spirit. Look at that. Look at that. The spirit is all around. Look at that. Oh, look at that. Oh. Can you capture the spirit? You want to go catch the spirit? Capture the spirit. There we go. That's the thing. God's Spirit is all around us all the time. We only have to look. And you know the wonderful things about these spirit catchers? You see the rainbow? Do you guys remember way back when we were talking about God's rainbow promise? The rainbow reminds us of God's promise. And all these spirit bubbles have God's promise inside. Look at that. Yeah. Do we get it? The Spirit's all around, all the time. You know, okay, you want to try to catch the Spirit? Let's see if you can catch the Spirit. Yep, you can do it too. Wow. Okay, everyone will get a chance to do it, and then I'm going to give each of you your own Spirit catchers to take with you, so you can capture the Spirit whenever you want to. Okay. It's not quite as fancy as this one. But here, want to press? You press the green button. Wow, there we go. You want to do it? Okay. There we go. All right. Erica, we'll let you do it. Press the green button. There we go. All right. Yeah, let's let Mackenzie do it. Yeah, okay. Capture the Spirit. Let's catch it. There we go. Wow. That's wonderful. Okay, Michelle's going to give you your own Spirit catcher bottles, okay? Okay, we're just going to leave this one. We could spend all morning doing this, I'm sure. We're just going to leave this for now. We're all going to get a Spirit catcher bottle, all of our own. Here, this is for you. Holy God, who sends His Spirit, thank you for the rushing wind of your Spirit that gives us energy and enthusiasm. Thank you, God, for your Spirit. Amen.
Time now for our gospel lesson. From John chapter 15, verses 26 and 27, and chapter 16, verses 4b to 15. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, He will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify because you have been with me from the beginning. But I have said these things to you so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you about them. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to Him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. And when He comes, He will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth, for He will not speak on His own, but will speak whatever He hears, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because He will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that He will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the gospel of Christ.
Hola, buenos dias. Like most of you know, this past March, the three of us traveled to Central America, to Nicaragua with TCAO, or Two Countries, One World. We left home at 6:30 a.m. on March 13th, and met our group at Pearson Airport to pass through customs to wait for our first flight to Miami. From Miami, we had another three-hour flight to get to the capital city of Managua, where we were greeted with hugs, smiles, and pizza. We then met our guide for the trip, whose name is Victor, and he was very nice, and our host families. The transition was big, leaving a chilly March morning in Canada to a very hot Managua. It was 30 degrees when we arrived. There's just some pictures of us at the airport and on the plane, and this picture down here, that's when we were starting to land in Managua.
So on our first day, we went to Los Pinchos. Okay, Can everyone hear me? Okay. So on our first day, we went to Los Quinchos, which was a school for the poorest of the poor children in Managua. This would be where the two other groups who were traveling with compañeros were going to be working the duration of the 14 days, or 10 days, sorry. After a lunch of traditional Nicaraguan cuisine, we went on a tour of Old Managua, and this is where the majority of people lived before a major earthquake hit in 1972. And the yellow tree that you see in the far left corner, the government put those all over the city of Managua to show how they are gaining prosperity and how their economy is becoming better. And the photo to the left is one of the government buildings in Managua, and it's still in use. And the picture to the right is an old cathedral in Managua, but after the earthquake, it's not safe to go in anymore.
So next we went to Hinotega, which is where we were going to be doing our work project. So in the morning, we packed up all of our stuff from our host families and had project orientation at Compañeros headquarters, Casablanca, which you can see in the left there. After that, we traveled for 3 hours on our bus to Hinotega. The roads were actually surprisingly smooth, like they weren't too bumpy, which is good. We had lunch at a restaurant in Hinotega, and then after that, we went to the coffee farm El Recreo, where we would be working, which was 40 minutes outside of Hinotega. It was right up in the mountains and very rural. After we got settled in our hostel, where each one of the rooms was named after a different type of coffee, we went for a hike of the plantation. It was very steep at some points, but the views were absolutely breathtaking, as you can see in the photo on the right. We tried to go to bed early, so we were prepared for our first day of work, as we had to get up at 6 the next morning. And this is us when we arrived at the farm.
Okay, on our first day of work, we were really eager to get started on the projects we're doing, which I know before we left, we couldn't really tell you what we were doing because it wasn't set, but what we did do was we painted the inside of their schoolhouse, which is a one-room schoolhouse. We painted the inside of an infant care room used only a few months of the year during the height of the coffee picking when they bring in a lot more workers from other areas of the country. We built a patio and with a covering on the one side of the school so that when it's raining, the kids can still be outside. We built a bathroom off of the infant care room, like I mentioned before, and because that alternative to that bathroom was a single latrine out on the behind the school. And we also built some portable dividers so that the one-room schoolhouse could become two rooms. On the first day, Fiona helped with the classroom painting, Heather helped dig a trench where we were making the bathrooms, and I sifted gravel to mix concrete later on. Later on in the afternoon, we always had a lesson on our work days, and our first one was a coffee tasting, and we also learned more about the Rainforest Alliance, which it protects the environment and the coffee farmers, and it also kind of goes hand in hand with fair trade because they want everybody to be paid fairly and the environment to be kept as healthy as possible as well.
So on our second day of work, we switched up our tasks for the day. So Veronica and Heather dug trenches that day, and they had to chop down a tree with a machete. They were told that it was going to be easy work, but they told me it wasn't so easy. I helped with the painting of the mural in the morning and painting the infant care center in the afternoon. Like Veronica mentioned, the building was in really bad shape as it was only used for a few months of the year when the temporary workers came, and so the owners didn't put a lot of money into it. And so when we went in to paint it, we found some rusty nails in the beds where the kids were supposed to sleep, and the cribs were falling apart. They were just made of wood, and the mattresses clearly hadn't been cleaned, probably ever. So that was a big shock for us to know that small children were staying in there. And then we also toured the coffee production site, which was surprisingly more complicated than we thought it was going to be. We were given a tour by one of the workers there, Amir, and we got to see the machines and systems that they used to sort and clean the beans.
And so here on the left, this is the infant care room that they were painting. So Veronica and I worked on building the portable dividers for the classroom. This is our third day of work. It was kind of difficult to build them because we had a hard time getting the power because they had to like give us some of the power from the coffee production, but we had to wait about an hour before we got any power. So back to the old-fashioned hand tools. Good times. Fiona was painting the classroom to freshen it up. We continued working on the mural that day as well. After working for the day, we learned about the duties of the nurse on the plantation, who was only 19 years old. And that night after dinner, we had group reflection, which is a time when we had some time to think over like our thoughts and experiences on the trip so far. And then we also had some talented musicians with us, and they would play the guitar and the ukulele that they brought, and we would all sing.
So our final day of work was the second, I guess the Friday, like a week after we had arrived, the Friday, and or maybe it was this Thursday.
It was the Thursday.
And at first when we got up, it seemed like we had a lot left to do and that I was kind of skeptical that we'd be able to finish it all in the time allotted or we'd be working way into the evening. But we worked really hard through the morning and one by one the projects were finished and it felt really good to be able to leave El Recreo a little bit brighter and a little bit happier. So like that's the face there, that's the front of the schoolhouse. And the workday was hard for two reasons. First, because it was the fourth day in a row of hard manual labor, and it really takes a toll on your body. And secondly, because it meant that we were soon leaving our new friends, who we managed to make bonds with, even though we had such a big language barrier. And that's the mural we did, and on the swings, there's two of the kids that we met there. Jose is the one with the, this one's Jose, and that one's Harrison. And our lesson portion of this day included terrifying ride up the mountain in this blue truck. And we went up to actually get a chance to pick some of the coffee. And the picture to the right is after we came back down the mountain, we had to sort all the ripe beans from the green ones still. So that's what we were doing there. And so we all had our own basket and we went up, we picked, and we came back down and sorted.
Our mixers. So we had three mixers while we were at the El Recreo State, which is where children and family members of the workers at the coffee farm, they would come and interact with us, and we'd play games, sing songs, and just learn more about each other's lives. So the first night we were there, we had one where we just kind of like shared a bit about our lives, and I tried to explain to them what snow was, and it was very difficult because they had like no sense of how cold it is here. Like up in the mountains, it's apparently cold for Nicaragua. It's not that cold up there. And then during the week, we had another one, which started out with a soccer game, and the kids loved to play soccer with us. And then the night before we left was our last mixer slash a goodbye party, and 18 people ended up showing up that day, which was the most we'd ever had show up. And we had a good time, and we celebrated with a piñata, as you can see over here. And this is the whole big group on the last night, including our translators, the workers, all the kids from the plantation.
So after we left, at the end of our stay at El Recreo, we packed our bags, tied them all onto the top of our bus, and said goodbye to everyone. And we made our way back down the mountain to a tourist town called Granada, but we didn't quite go directly there because earlier in the week we were supposed to go to the Masaya volcano, which is where this picture is taken. We're at the top of the volcano. We were supposed to go there, but then our lunch ended up taking like three times as long as they thought it was supposed to take, so we didn't have enough time to make it before the park closed for the evening, so we went on our way to Granada. And when we got to Granada, we continued there and came to our beautiful hotel, which the picture of the pool in the center in the top is, that's the picture of the pool there. It was really nice, and we were all happy to find that our rooms were all equipped with heated showers and air conditioners. And that night we went out to just kind of celebrate the end of our projects, and for the second time in Nicaragua, we had pizza at a restaurant called Tela Pizza.
So our second day in Granada consisted of a boat tour, as you can see in the pictures there, a tour of the beautiful colonial city, and also some free time in the afternoon to explore the small market outside of our hotel. The market was a great opportunity to immerse yourself in the Nicaraguan culture, as well as buy some amazing crafts. One thing that was interesting when you'd go into the markets is that there were a lot of people trying to get money from you, or they would be selling these kinds of things, which they made out of palm leaves, and you thought that it was a gift, and then all of a sudden they'd be following you for 10 minutes for money, which is interesting. And we had a big culture shock when we went to Granada, because we were used to seeing such poverty in the outskirts of Nicaragua, and then we came to Granada, and there was a tourist town, so everything there was beautiful and well-polished, and then you'd see buildings like this one up here, which is actually a home, and the family here, they lived on an island, and they would use the water as, like, it was their main source for everything. They'd do their laundry in it, they would drink from it, and they'd go to the bathroom in it, and so it's shocking to see these kinds of homes, and then we'd later see homes that were mansions, and like this one down here in the bottom right corner, and it was just such a big change for us.
So our last day. So we packed up all our stuff and left the hotel in Granada to go ziplining. So Fiona and I were seasoned zipliners, but for Veronica, this was her first time, and I must say it was a pretty good first time for her. So we went flying through the Nicaraguan forest near Mombacho Volcano, and it was absolutely beautiful. So after a few goes, you got to go upside down, as you can see here, hanging upside down, and Superman style, which was loads of fun. After we finished all 9 zip lines, we went to Katarina Lookout, and then we headed to the Messiah Market to do some shopping. After shopping, we were supposed to go for lunch, but Veronica and I got lost for a little bit. However, we were eventually able to find the rest of the group. We traveled to Managua and went to the Art Games, which is where painters would compete in timed rounds, and we would get to vote on whose artwork we liked the best. And so these are all the winners who won the pieces of art at the end of the night, and the artists. Finally, we went home to our host families to say goodbye before we left early the next morning at 4:30 in the morning for the airport. And so on the right here, this is me, and this is my host mom, Doña Inez, and then this is her son, Marcel, and her daughter, Gabriela. And then also at my house, there were 2 other girls from TCAO, and then there were 5 other people who were with one of the other groups with Compañeros. So there's always lots going on in my host house.
And so then on the left, Veronica and I were in the same host family. So this is our host mother, Alma Luz, and then me, Veronica, and then one of the girls from TCAO too, Lauren. And they had a dog here, Kike, who was very friendly and was basically our best friend, who'd come with us everywhere. And we were really lucky because her husband actually spoke English because he was from England, and she spoke absolutely no English, so he was a great translator for us.
And her daughter also lived with them, Tatiana, and she spoke English as well because they had lived in the States for a while.
So we took an early flight out of Managua to Miami at 4:30 in the morning. And when we landed in Miami, we spent 2 hours or so going through security, which was not a fun experience for us. So we arrived home around 6 p.m. We were exhausted, but very happy to see our family again. And so this is us back home. And this was us landing in Miami.
No, that was when we were taking off from
Managua. Okay, this is still in Managua. And then this was a view of the coast in
somewhere along the way.
We took a lot of photos. So we would just like to thank everyone for supporting us and helping us with the fundraising and the preparation for our trip. We really appreciated it, and we're glad we were able to share our experiences with you today. We would not have been able to go on this amazing trip without your help. We'd also like to thank a few people who have been crucial in our fundraising and organizing: Linda Barnaby, Doug Riddell, Maureen Denny, and Hong. They have offered their help on countless occasions, so thank you. And also a big thank you to our families for supporting us.
We would like to call up Steve, who is going to represent the congregation. So for all the congregation's help and for supporting us on our trip, we would like to present the congregation with this cross that we bought down in Nicaragua.
And so after the service is over, we've brought some of the things that we and other people have collected from their various teacup trips. And so if you want, you can come up and look at this after the service.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Spirit of joy, come like the wind swirling around us, fill us with enthusiasm, and energize us to do your work.
Spirit of truth, come as the flame of Christ's light among us, illuminating our hearts, our minds, our lives. Thank you, God, for the Spirit of truth.
Spirit of life, come as the breath of life, pouring energy and power into our dry bones. Rekindle all who are weary, that they may find life and know God. Thank you, God, for the Spirit of life.
Spirit of hope, come from the four winds. O breath, O restless searcher, breathe upon your people, that creation may be renewed with hope. Thank you, God, for the Spirit of hope.
Spirit of love, come as our comforter and consoler, that all who are broken or wounded may be healed, that all who grieve may be consoled by the power of your love and grace. Thank you, God, for the Spirit of love.
Spirit of wisdom, come as the light of understanding, that diversity in all its forms may be respected and may be understood as gifts to cherish. Thank you, God, for the Spirit of wisdom.
Spirit of peace, come as the winds of truth, that our hearts may be kindled by the passion for justice and peace. Thank you, God, for the Spirit of peace.
Spirit of healing, come into our hearts and minds this day as we hold before you those whom are in need of your Spirit of healing today. We think of the world, this beautiful planet that we live on, and we pray for your healing upon it, that your creation may be treated as sacred. And we think of all those in our hearts and on our minds, and we pray for Peter and Ray, Linda and Claire, John and Bob and Matt, Gladys and Carol, Jack and Debbie, Jim and Wayne and Heidi. We pray for all who grieve, all who are ill, all who are facing surgery, and those who are recovering. We pray for ourselves, gracious God, and ask for your Spirit to be with us, enlivening us and bringing us hope. As we celebrate the birthday of the church on this day of Pentecost, may we, Jesus followers in this time and place, use your gifts of the Spirit and all the gifts to work for and serve the church and each other. In Jesus' name, amen.